I asked the Lord to give us something for special for tonight, and I know that you'll probably think that there's maybe this is not anything that you haven't ever heard before, but just give me a little bit here tonight, and I think maybe we can learn something together. You know, grace has boundaries, and grace has limits. But God is, He's faithful, and God is holy. He'll do what He said He'll do. We strive to be faithful, and we strive to be holy. But God is faithful and God is holy. Not only is God holy and God is faithful, but God is also love. I'm going to be looking in Genesis chapter 3, and I want to ask a question. Do you know any snakes that can talk? Have you ever seen a snake walk? I mean, it may seem like a silly question, but the Bible speaks about it. And, you know, in the beginning, God said us, let us make man in our, Genesis chapter 1:26. He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But we get into Genesis chapter 3, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. You can read that when you go home, and I'm sure you probably read it time and time again. But in verse number 14, he said, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." I see the reality of sin. Adam and Eve, they were in a perfect place. There was no sin. There was no consequences of sin. They was there in the Garden of Eden, where everything was peace and love and happiness. I mean, they had it made. But because of sin. Now, what is sin? Sin simply means to miss the mark. If we miss the mark, we have sinned. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is it a sin." Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. The Bible teaches us that. We have all sinned because of Adam. We have all sinned. The curse of sin is upon us. I thought about this passage, and I've got this in my notes. I've intended on preaching about this, but I haven't preached it yet. But it's the three knots in the devil's tail. And I'm not talking about tail, T-A-I-L. I'm talking about T-A-L-E, like the tail of a storybook. The three knots in the devil's tail. And let me give this to you real quick. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That's not number one. Well, if you go back and look at the original translation of this, there's two ways of interpreting this. That he's saying that God said you're not supposed to eat none of the trees of the garden. You're not supposed to eat any of them. Or there's an interpretation that you can eat all of the tree of all of the trees. And that God said there's one tree you shall not eat of the garden. All the rest of it. That was not number one. Then he goes to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 3 for not number two. He said, "God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." First off, God's never said, don't touch it. God didn't say, lest ye die. He's saying there is a possibility, and then there's something that's sure. You may or may not die. But if God said it, it's going to come to pass. God is faithful. God is holy. He will do what He said He'll do. And God is love. And then the third knot in the devil's tail, you'll read about it in verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Here he defies God and says that what God says, what he says, he doesn't really mean. You know, there are churches out there that's like that. Well, you know, that scripture really doesn't mean what it says. Let me tell you something. If God said it, it's the truth. You may not like it. It may ruffle your feathers. You may not agree with it, but it will come to pass. Not only do we see the reality of sin, but I see the responsibility for sin. When God comes on the scene in verse number 11, He says, "Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" That is a point blank question. Did you do it? I want you to look at his response. He says in verse 12, "And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me." Lord, it's your fault. Did y'all get that? Lord, if you hadn't gave me this woman, it was her ideal. You gave her to me. And so he blames God. And then I see here that, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." She blames it on the serpent. Let me tell you something here. Your sin is nobody's fault but yours. We will try to blame it on the preacher. We'll try to blame it on everyone. We'll try to blame it on our wife. We'll try to blame it on creation. We'll try to blame it on God. We'll try to blame it on everybody else but ourselves. I get so sick of therapists that will take and they'll they'll analyze somebody and they'll determine that because of that your parents gave you a spanking whenever you slung your cereal in the floor when you was just a child. That's why you've got anxiety and disorders in your life. That's hogwash. Your sin is your problem. And if we don't get it corrected, we're going to stand before the Almighty God in judgment one day, and we'll have nobody to answer for but for ourselves. It's me. I'm responsible. We see the results of sin. We look in verse 16 on down, we'll find that God began to curse. The curse that was on him. Adam, the ground is going to be cursed. You're going to have to make your living by the sweat of your brow. Thorns and thistles, he's going to give him. Men, we have to work to provide for our family by the sweat of our brow because of the curse of Adam. You're cursed. He goes on. And he tells him that you're going to die. You ate of the tree of the garden, you're going to die. Adam didn't die that same day. He didn't, but he began the process of dying. By the time you get to chapter 5 of the book of Genesis, you'll find out that Adam died. Because of the curse, I'm going to die. You're going to die. You know, I only read in two places in the Bible. One of them was Enoch, and he was translated. The other one was Elijah, and he got carried away in a chariot of fire. Well, you say, maybe, preacher, maybe that'll happen to me, and I won't see death. You remember what I said? God is faithful, God is holy, and God is love. When we get over in the New Testament, you'll find out that Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible tells us, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You cannot change that. No one will escape death. I see the curse of Eve. Eve had to conceive and give childbirth and have sorrow in childbirth. Can you imagine a time whenever that if a woman was in labor in childbirth and there was no pain associated with it? That was before the curse. And also, he said, and your husband shall rule over you. Boy, where'd all the shouting go now? I know we try to get things a little backwards sometimes. Now, women, when you're in the car, you're driving down the road, your husband's driving, and he makes a wrong turn, you've got two choices. I'm going to leave it right there. But then, I look at the curse on the serpent. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, I think I would rather walk than crawl, especially after eating Christmas dinner. Could you imagine having to crawl on your belly back to the bedroom to get into bed to take a nap after you got through eating? I'm glad I can walk. I got to looking at this, and there are some primitive breeds of snakes, specifically pythons and boas, that have vestigial legs. Did anybody know that? Snakes have vestigial legs. They are located off of the sides of the cloacae. For those of you that don't know what a cloacae is, I'm sure that Sister Rocky probably knows what that is. She deals with animals all the time. A chicken has a cloacae. Cloacae is Latin for sewer. Are we in kind of on the same ballpark? A chicken, the same place where an egg comes out of, the same place that other things, that's a cloacae. It's one opening, okay? I don't want to get too detailed here. But on the sides of the cloacae, the snakes have legs. And I know you're going to go home probably and Google this, but I'll just go ahead and tell you that evolutionists will tell you that that is proof. This is one of their proofs of evolution. That at one time that the snakes had legs and they could walk and stand upright. How is it that something can evolve to crawl on their belly? That's my problem with that. It's a whole lot easier for me to believe the account of the Bible that they was cursed. I believe their snakes used to be able to talk. They can't talk no more. They're made of bone and muscle. They're like stubs or little spurs. They're now ingrown, and they have to crawl on their belly because they can no longer walk. I believe that I would rather walk than crawl. He also said that they shall eat dust. You know, Isaiah chapter 65 it's a picture of the millennial kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 65, we have that is where we have the where it talks about, and for those of y'all don't know what the millennial kingdom is when I'm referring to that, or the Bible is referring to that. That is what is the time period of 1,000 years where the animal kingdom, there'll be peace in the animal kingdom. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. He'll be cast into the bottomless pit. There'll be peace on earth. And you know, we sing that song oftentimes. We sing that song about the lion laying next to the lamb. That's really not scripture. We picture that in our mind, but really what it says in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6, that the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Another passage is speaking of the millennial kingdom. But in Isaiah chapter 65, in the last verse of that chapter, verse 25 said, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. Every animal in the millennial kingdom will be changed except for the serpent. Why? Because if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, the curse, the Bible says, upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. There's only one change in the millennial kingdom to the serpent. You'll find out that the little children will be able to play with the serpent and he'll not bite them. Now, God is faithful, God is holy, and God is love. But I also see that he gave us the remedy. You know, this is the first prophecy that we have recorded in our Bible. It's Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The remedy. He said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." That's between Satan and the woman. And he said, "And between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He didn't say its heel. He said his heel. Give me just a couple more minutes. God is all-powerful. He formed man from the dust of the earth. He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. Everything else in creation, God spoke it into existence. He's all-powerful. Would you agree with that? He has all power in heaven and earth. But I want you to look at something with me tonight. He gave it all away. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our own, in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God said, "Adam, I love you so much, I'm going to give you dominion over all of creation. It's yours. It's yours." But Adam lost it. He lost it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, "And now the serpent was more susceptible than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Satan, I hope you're following me. Satan was a fallen angel. Angels are ministering spirits. God created Adam, body, soul, and spirit. Satan did not have a body. He was a ministering spirit. Satan had to have a body to speak. He entered into the serpent. God created the serpent perfect. It was the Garden of Eden. We get a picture of what it was like, what it will be like again in the millennial kingdom. Children can play with the snake, and the snake wouldn't bite them. Satan entered in to that serpent because it had to have someone to speak. Adam lost dominion because he listened to the devil. Satan chose a snake, but God chose a virgin. Mary was her name. I see the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And one of these days, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, but it didn't just end there. Do you remember after Jesus was resurrected, he was standing there with his disciples getting ready to give him the great commission to go out and to preach the gospel into the world? In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He took it back. Adam lost it. The devil took it, and Christ resurrected from the dead. He took it back. That's why when we come to the altar, and we come and we ask for prayer, and we ask for healing, and we ask to have needs, and we petition before God. God has all power. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, because Jesus has the power to change lives. He is all powerful and almighty. All that does is prove to me that the Bible is still true. Still true. I've done my best tonight. I hope I've encouraged someone. I hope you've learned something tonight. Let's be vigilant in our prayer, in our reading, in our walk with Christ, because He is all powerful. Who are you going to choose to follow? The virgin or the snake? I think I'll choose Jesus. I think I'll choose Christ.